Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRayHallHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Landon Tengwall. Landon, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing good, Jim. Doing well. My voice, I'm a little hoarse. I went to my first country concert last night. I was taken to see Kenny Chesney. Zach Brown Band opened as well. And he played for, it felt like two different concerts. Zach Brown Band played for about 15 to 20 songs. And then Kenny Chesney played for over 2 hours. It was at Heinz Field. I refuse to call it Accuser Stadium. I won't do it. I'm not a true Yinzer, but I've been a diehard Steelers fan since I was little. But it was a great time. So I had a good weekend and looking forward to some more sunny days and golf days with Jim, of course.
Oh, definitely, definitely. But speaking of you and I getting out, we got out last week trying to catch kickoffs, Landon. That was a fun time also.
Yeah, you guys, it was a really – I had Jim come out. I had T. Frank, who's a beat writer for On Three. I had a player. I had a letterman. We had all these different people come out and catch punts and kicks from Alex Falcons, our kicker. It was a video that we put together. It's going to be really cool. It'll be out sometime this coming week. So check that out over on my YouTube channel, Landon Tengwall. We'll also put out clips on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all of the above, Facebook. It's all Landon Tengwall if you want to look me up on any of those platforms. But a lot more cool content coming forward. And you can watch Jim attempt to catch some punts and some kicks. So that should be really exciting.
Well, okay. Was I more or less athletic than you imagined?
Jim, you were looking good. He was there early. Jim got to the field before me. I saw him stretching, and I brought a little ball. We were throwing it around. I didn't know that Jim was actually a lefty because we play golf together, and you hit like a righty, and he's throwing with his left hand. So I didn't even really know that. So we might have a switch hitter on our hands. I don't know if you played baseball a lot growing up, Jim.
Well, it depends on what the sport is that determines which way I play. I'm a left-handed ping pong player. I throw the ball left-handed, but as you saw, I golf right-handed. I actually bat right-handed, which would make me one of the few people bats righty and throws a baseball left-handed. So yes, we got out, got to throw the ball around a bit. If you don't mind me mentioning the name, one of your teammates there, old teammate Joey Schlaffer was there. We're throwing the ball around, and every ball he throws is a perfect spiral. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This tight end played quarterback in high school.
He did. There's a lot of tight ends that used to play quarterback. I guess because it's a similar, you got to be kind of tall and big. So it kind of transitions well. But, yeah, he's Joey Schlaffer. He was one of the players we had out, and he caught a bunch of balls at once. We did a couple different challenges. It was really a fun time. So I'm excited to put that video out this coming week.
I'm looking forward to seeing it also. Good time now also to mention that our show, Landon, is brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. You know I'm a big advocate of them. I bought my car there. Before they were sponsoring our show, I was a customer. I have a beautiful Honda CR-V. You've seen that, Landon. We've been over there. You know the guys over there are fantastic. Matt and Evan, they took really good care of me. They take care of us when we go over there. We're looking forward to a long, wonderful relationship with them. If you want to check them out, go to the showroom. It's on West College Avenue, or go online to Bobby Ray Hall Honda of StateCollege.com. See all their great inventory of Honda vehicles. Fantastic. Hey, I traveled 90 miles to buy my Honda there. That's how good a deal I got there, Landon.
I know. They're good. But I told you guys last week, me and Jim stop in once a week, and we kind of just shoot the crap. Just sit down. We walk into the manager's office, Matt, and we just talk a little bit. I have some jargon, and then we leave. He's like, oh, you guys just came here to bother me, huh? So we did. We love them over there, Bobby Ray Hall Honda.
Yeah, they are fantastic. They've been great, treated me fantastic before and after the sale. I highly recommend it, especially if you're looking for a Honda. All right, Landon, let's get to our topic of the day. It's interesting. A week ago, we talked about the fact that June, which we are now in, is the month of official visits, and you gave us a great breakdown of what goes on for an official visit. That led me to thinking about this, though, a little bit, about the decision that a player like yourself has to make. I'm sure Penn State does a great job with their official visits, but I imagine also Ohio State does, and Alabama, and Clemson, and Notre Dame, and everybody else does a great job. So what I wanted to talk to you about today, and I think it's something that our listeners would be very interested in, is just what are the things that go into that decision you have to make, which is maybe the toughest decision of your young life that you had to make?
Yeah, like you were talking about, those official visits, and schools do – some schools do a better job than others. I've seen some guys talk about how awful some official visits were. Obviously not at any bigger schools. That doesn't really happen. They make sure the whole weekend is planned and the players are completely catered towards. But I've heard some horror stories. But then there's also, like, at Ohio State, I've heard them bring around some legends. Like, they'll bring around some true legends, some try to bring back, like, C.J. Stroud, something like that, to just be around to kind of influence these guys to say, hey, this is the type of product that we cultivate here. These are the guys that continue to come back around, that type of thing. So there is, just kind of talking about the official visits, I know we talked about it last week, but I kind of forgot to mention that there is a little bit of that star factor, that star power that you can add into official visits if you can get a big name back. So I know sometimes coaches try to do that, because normally official visits are in June when a lot of NFL players have off. So they'll try to get some of those big names back. But yeah, taking you back, I think at first it all starts where the recruits, really the journey starts for him. It depends. Are you a guy that's starting to get offers as a freshman in high school, or do you not start to come on the scene until late in your junior year? It doesn't matter when that happens. It doesn't dictate how good you're going to be in college if you started getting offers in ninth grade versus 11th grade. I still remember I officially got my first offer. I think I was still in eighth grade. So I obviously started a little bit early. And how it went for me is I started getting all these offers. And any time when you're 14 years old and you got all these big-time schools and you have these coaches that you grew up watching, Nick Saban, James Franklin, Ryan Day, all these – all these big time dudes, and they're saying, hey, we want you. And they're, essentially when you're recruiting, you are much nicer to these kids than when they get on campus. Everybody always talks about that flip that happens where it's your first day on campus and you go, oh, what the heck? They're yelling at me now. They're lighting a fire under my butt. It's no more how good you are and patting you on the back. So that's something that's really difficult for these young kids to kind of go through and figure out, okay, what school is truly the best fit. And especially that's even more exacerbated now with the day and age of NIL that we are in, where not only do you have all this attention being thrown at you from these big time coaches and big time schools, now there's money being involved too. So it has only gotten more complicated. But I think it all starts when you start to see, okay, you start taking those visits. I think that's the biggest thing. And you figure out, okay, do I want to be close to home? Do I want to be far away? And for the most part, most guys want to stay within, I'd say, a 5 to 6 hour driving proximity. I think that is pretty fair to say that guys don't like to get too far outside of that unless they really fall in love with the school, just because most guys want to be close to their family. There's so many times where you'll just have just a weekend off, just 2 days off, a 4th of July, an extra day on Memorial Day weekend, that type of thing, where if you live a flight away, it's not really worth going home, and guys want to be able to go home for those times. So I think there's a big advantage to any time a school is recruiting in state or, let's say you're Penn State recruiting in the DMV region, the Maryland, DC, Virginia, PA, New Jersey region. There's a reason why that retain rate is so high, because guys want to be able to drive back home and be close to family. So I honestly, some people would be shocked by that, but I think that's, for a lot of guys, that's either number one or number two in their decision, is proximity to their home, because people just, they love to be around their family, Jim.
And I would think also when you're closer, if you're in Pennsylvania, there's a good chance you grew up a Penn State fan, maybe yep. had your heart on playing for the Nittany Lions. How about you, growing up in Annapolis, were you a fan of any particular college team?
You know, Jim, I really wasn't. I was a diehard Steelers fan, and I would religiously watch NFL Network. I mean, I'm talking, I would watch it in the morning. I would come home from school. I would turn it on. I mean, that was, I could name every player in the league, you know, third team back. It didn't matter. But I really, for some reason, I did not really get involved into watching college football, honestly, until about 2015, 2016. I honestly, this Penn State fans will probably be mad at me for saying this, but I don't even think at the time I wasn't watching like Penn State, Ohio State, when we upset them in 2016. I really, even then, still wasn't watching college football. Like, truly, I wasn't like turning it on every weekend. If it was on, I'd watch it, but I don't even really remember the Penn State, Ohio State game. I remember seeing the upset afterwards. But I'd say until I didn't really start watching college football until I began being recruited. That was pretty much so around 2016 into 2017. But a lot of guys, they want to play for that team that they watched growing up. And then part of that is they watch people. Let's say you watch, you're a linebacker and you're a Penn State fan. You grew up in PA. You watch LeVar Arrington, you know, growing up, or you watched him when he was on the Redskins, and you're like, I want to be just like that. And now it's kind of a, like I talked about, a recruiting tactic. You're on a visit to Penn State, and now LeVar Arrington's coming down, patting you on the back and saying, hey, you know, you're a real good player. We'd love to have you here at Penn State. I want you to come, whatever, wear number 11 just like me. I mean, that has an that has an effect on these kids, man. That's influential. There's no other way to put it when that type of thing happens where a kid grew up. So, yeah, I definitely feel like that plays a big role and where kids kind of imagine themselves growing up as a young kid, Jim.
Well, again, you grew up in Annapolis in Maryland. How about your friends, the people around you? Now, from where I grew up, we're close enough to Penn State. A lot of Penn State fans, a lot of people went to Penn State. The other team, Notre Dame, there's a lot of, you know, Notre Dame fans who never went to the school, but in our area. So what was it in Annapolis? Was there a specific team that most people followed?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Maryland was about 30 minutes away, but I'm gonna be honest, a lot of guys in the area did not want to go to Maryland. If you think about big time names that were coming out, I mean, me, Caleb Williams, Olu Fashanu, Golden Achumba was a lineman that went here that came out of DeMatha as well. There not very many guys stayed home. So I don't know what the problem was. Obviously, that incident happened at Maryland where everything kind of went dormant for a year. There was a ton of investigations. And I think that kind of hurt Maryland for a little while. But I think Lox is starting to get back on track. But it's definitely taking them some time. But that's why so many people from the DMV region go to Virginia Tech, go to Penn State, et cetera.
Very good. That's it for quarter number one. Got a lot more questions, though, for you on this topic, Landon. We'll pick it up in quarter number two.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Landon. I'm Jim. Our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. As I've been saying, that's where I bought my car. Great place to go if you're looking for a Honda or just looking for a new car or used car, I guess, too. They treat you really well. Check them out. You could go to their showroom on West College Avenue or check them out online at Bobby Rahal Honda of StateCollege.com. All right, Landon, we were talking about what goes into making your decision. You're being recruited. I was asking you about in Annapolis where you grew up. You weren't a particular fan of any specific college football team. I asked about your friends. I wonder if a part of it is, and this is no disrespect to Maryland, but, you know, they were not big time, you know, one of the big names. If you're in Columbus, Ohio, Well, guess what? If you're really good, probably in the whole state of Ohio, Ohio State is the home team. If you're from the state of Florida, you got Miami, you've got Florida, you've got Florida State. Alabama, the state of Alabama, you know where you want to go. So how important was it to get to that level that you wanted to play for? I'm just using the expression, a big time program. How important is that?
Yeah, I think guys always want to go somewhere where they know they're going to win. You know, sometimes people will say, hey, that's not that important to me. If I get playing time, or now, I guess, if I can get money, that's cool. But you see how that affects guys. If you are just constantly losing, it is not fun at all. I've talked to some people. I mean, Joe Thomas has talked about it pretty much on a losing team his whole career. And he's just like, dude, it gets depressing. In the locker room, it gets sad. It's not a good environment where you can really thrive in. I was talking to Stefan Wisniewski a couple weeks ago about that too. He was like, dude, you know, obviously he won two Super Bowls. He was on the Chiefs and then the Eagles in the late 2010s when they won. And he's like, that was the most fun I ever had playing football. Now, he played for the Raiders when they were not doing well in the early 2010s, mid-2010s. He's like, it was some of the worst times of my life. It's just not fun to play on a bad team. There's nothing fun about it when you're just constantly losing. The environment isn't a fun place to be. So I think that's number one too. I haven't really experienced it because I played on a top 25 high school team in the nation. We, you know, maybe lost one, two games a year max. Kind of similar thing here at Penn State. Obviously my first year, I think we lost five games. It was kind of a little bit rough, especially that standing there on the sideline as a freshman, losing to Illinois in nine overtimes was not the highlight of my career here at Penn State. But obviously that's kind of out of the norm. So I do think it's really – there's a reason that guys want to go to winning programs. They want to be a part of something cool. What's it being a part of a three-win team? I mean, what is there really to talk about? So I think there is that, you know, that kind of cool part about going to a top 10 program. But you're absolutely right. I mean, when guys are looking at Maryland, I mean, if you just look – you can go back and look at the 24/7 or On3 rankings. I'm just thinking – I mean, really – not many guys stayed at all at home from what I remember in the 2020 class. I mean, Blake Corum was one of the top guys, went to Michigan. Remember Dante Thornton Jr., he was a wide receiver that was originally committed to Penn State in my class, ended up going to Oregon. There's just a ton of guys that went elsewhere. I had a couple teammates at Good Counsel that went Michigan. Chris Jenkins just got drafted to the Bengals. He went to Michigan. We had a linebacker that went to Ohio State. It just didn't seem like guys really wanted to stay home. So I'm not sure why that's a problem with Maryland, but I have quite the hate for the Maryland football team. I have a big Maryland flag tattoo on my shoulder, Jim, so I'm always repping Maryland, but I have a special hate in my heart for the Maryland football program for the rest of my life. It'll never break out of me.
I appreciate that, Landon. I really do. And I'll tell you what, that endears you to many a Penn State fan. And talking about the big time football, you know, I include Penn State in that, but Penn State does do mostly regional recruiting. Tell me a little bit, though, about – there's a handful, and I think really just a handful of teams that you could call they recruit nationally. Ohio State, Alabama, probably Notre Dame for a different reason because, you know, they're located in Indiana, not a hotbed. But what is it about those schools? Like you mentioned a local player, local to you in Annapolis, going to Oregon. Oregon's another one of those schools that recruits nationally. What is it about those schools, and how do they go about drawing players in on a national basis?
Yeah, I think first off, to draw someone in nationally, to draw in good players, especially high-level players, you have to be a top 15 team. And then it helps when you have tradition or have really cool uniforms like Ohio State and Oregon have. I mean, it sounds dumb, but trust me, guys. I mean, these kids, they love to go and put on the uniforms and take pictures, which I think that actually just got ruled to be illegal now. I don't think, unless you're on your, I believe your official visit is the only place you can. On unofficial visits, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I'm almost certain I remember seeing this, that they are not allowed to put on the jerseys anymore, which I think some people are happy about because there was kids wearing Penn State Letterman jackets on their on visits. You know, they had their jersey on taking the photos and wearing the Letterman jackets. And that's kind of, that's kind of bad taste to some people. It's like, you're not, you know, you might not even come to the school. I don't know if you're deserving of putting on a Letterman's jacket. But, you know, it's all about what the school really wants to do. I think James Franklin and the coaches say, hey, you know, we'll go down as far as Florida, but unless there's a specific recruit, you know, I think there was a quarterback, I don't remember his name, but out in California in the 23 class that Franklin and Yurcich at the time were going pretty hard after. But outside of these like specific players, it's just not really worth it to send someone over to California and have a coach over there for 7 days when your hit rate is probably 1% of the guys you visit, maybe. So it's like, you know, why not? Let's spend more of that time on the East Coast getting guys that we know we're going to hit on and that are going to want to come to this school. Now, you know, you mentioned Oregon and Ohio State. I think they just put a little more credence in the fact of, hey, let's go get some really talented guys from the other side of the country. We're not afraid to go out there and recruit. You know, obviously, Ohio State has JT, not even going to pronounce his last name, the defensive end, Tuilomalo. He was from Washington, that type of thing. It's just they're able to get those big-time guys. And now with NIL, that is a big reality of, hey, you have the money to offer these big-time guys. Because if you're Ohio State and you say, hey, you go over to this dude in California and say, hey, I got $750,000 for you to come to Ohio State, and let's say somewhere close, Washington's only offering you $100,000. Well, that's a lot more lucrative for a kid now. So NIL now plays a big role in that, which it didn't just a couple years ago when guys around my age were deciding where they wanted to go to school. But yeah, as far as Penn State goes, I would say I am more of a fan of that, of keeping all your coaches, when you send them out to recruit, keep them on the East Coast area. Obviously, you can go down to Texas and Florida and that type of thing. But it's really more of a waste to send guys out to Washington, to California to go recruit, because you're just not going to hit on those guys, Jim.
Well, you have limited resources to go out there. And I want to talk about that, though, drawing people in. And there was a recruiting story I heard of a player who came to Penn State and Alabama really wanted him. And the assistant coach from Alabama said, well, when the player said he's going to Penn State, the assistant coach from Alabama said, well, Mr. Saban will be here next week. You could tell him no to his face. With, you know, the thought being, you know, it'd be kind of hard to turn down Nick Saban. But that kind of leads to not just the big time player, but how much effect does the head coach have, first with his reputation, you know, with name value? I'm sure, you know, Nick Saban shows up at your door, you're probably in awe of that.
Yeah, it's a lot harder, like you said, to say no to Nick Saban. I remember freshman year, I did kind of a southern swing where my dad took me down and we flew into, I think, Georgia. And I hit Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, Auburn, Mississippi State. I went to all those southern schools and kind of visited. But, I mean, I will forever remember going into Alabama and walking into Nick Saban's office. And he presses that button. He taps under his desk and the door just shuts behind him. It's like something out of I don't even know like a villain movie, and I'm like oh man. So I still have that picture of me with Nick Saban as a young guy. I think I was 14 or 15. But I'm just like I said, I still have that photo with Nick Saban. I mean, even when I was playing at Penn State, I would still say, oh hey, yeah, here's this picture with Nick Saban. So there is that star value if you're going to play, you know, for Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, all these big time dudes. And then below that, it's, you know, how can a coach recruit? Can he level with all different types of people? Because you're recruiting kids from all over. It's, you know, it's different lingo, it's different cultures, it's different everything. You're recruiting a kid from California, where you're recruiting a kid from Maryland, from Florida. I mean, those are all very different. So you have to be an elite people skills person. I mean, you have to know how to talk to people to be a great recruiter. And I think James Franklin does have that check mark on him from many of people that we've all heard that he is a fantastic recruiter. And I can very much attest to that. So you know, it's one of those things. You kind of have to be a little bit of a charmer, a little bit, you know, sometimes you'll hear the fans will go after him, call him a used car salesman, that type of thing. And I'm like, man, you don't go that far, but there is a little bit as when you're recruiting, you have to be a little bit of a salesman. You're trying to sell your program to these families and to these players. And there's different ways you can do that. I think we're close on time here, but I have a really good It's been shared before, but I have a Micah Parsons story about Ohio State and Penn State. All right. So when Micah Parsons was deciding where he wanted to go, it was, and I know this to be pretty true, Ohio State pretty much had him. It was locked in. It was over. He was going to go to Ohio State. It was, and so he went on a game day visit to Ohio State, and they wanted to bring him out, you know, like we talked about, finding ways to make recruits feel special. They brought him out onto college game day, and they kind of was on the set, was talking, I think, to Kirk Herbstreit, et cetera. Well, come to find out, the, you know, a couple hours later, that is a huge violation for Ohio State to allow Micah to go out on college game day. So basically what happened is the NCAA told Ohio State, if you really don't want to get punished for this, you pretty much have to cut all ties with this recruit, which was Micah Parsons, leading to them then him wanting to go to Penn State, which essentially kind of seemed like his second option. So I thought that was a quick kind of cool story to show different ways that these schools will do unique things to try to get guys to come there. But it, you know, backfired on Ohio State, kind of losing the probably the best player, the best defensive player in the NFL right now that could have been an Ohio State player. But thankfully, he came to Penn State and had some pretty good years here.
And that would have been, you know, like a Julian Fleming story if he had gone there. You know, the Pennsylvania kid, local here. And those are the kids, you know, Penn State especially doesn't want to lose just for reputation. You know, this is obviously the best player in the state. You really don't want to lose them. All right, Landon, that is it for quarter number two. Still a lot more to go. A lot of questions for you. We'll pick that up when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Landon Tengwall. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking about the recruiting process. Landon, we wrapped up quarter number two. You telling us a story about Micah Parsons. I think a lot of Penn State fans are familiar with some of that and how that came down, because at the time we were all concerned about him ending up in at Ohio State. But this is an old story from years and years ago. You probably do you even know the name Barry Switzer from Oklahoma?
Sounds familiar, but no, you got to educate me, Jim.
Okay, he goes way back. And apparently this was one of his assistant coaches told this story. They were ready for a visit at a recruit's house, and they're walking up the front walk, and the garbage can was there. As they're walking in, the switcher tells you, hold on a second. He opens up the lid and sees a bunch of beer cans in there, a specific, I'll say Schlitz, you know, which is an old-time beer. And he says, okay, he puts that down, walks in. Well, they offer him a beer when he gets inside. Could I get you a beer? Boy, is there any chance you have Schlitz here? And, oh, that's amazing. That's what we drink. So right off the bat, this endears him to this family. And so that's, you know, that's the kind of thing that they would do. It's a little different today. You know, you come in with a pile of money if you really want to get a recruit.
Yeah,
but we've been talking about the coaches. Now, some of this is reputation, Landon, and, you know, like a Nick Saban has a reputation, but then you meet him and does the reality, you know, match the reputation? James Franklin's a guy who think of as very charming. So how much, forgetting the rep, how much of it is the coach's personality that draws you in?
Yeah, I think that's a big piece of it, because you know that coach most likely is going to be there the majority of time that you were there. You don't really know that for your position coach. Now, granted, that's more when you're going to these higher level schools. You can trust that when I committed here. James Franklin was going to be here. You know, obviously just had some big turnover with, you know, Nick Saban retiring, with Urban Meyer stepping away, all that stuff. But for the most part, when you commit to these big schools, you know those head coaches are going to be there for a little bit. So you kind of have to have that trust in them of, hey, I am always going to put you in a good position. I am going to make sure that if your position coach leaves that you're committing to right now, I am going to give you one just as good, if not better, to continue to help better yourself. So I think there's kind of that trust in that coach. But yeah, we're going through the recruiting process. Kids are absolutely judging these coaches on their personalities. For example, Nick Saban was exactly who he is. When I came in, I remember, and I talked about this, as a freshman, all you want to do, you want to get offers, and you want to say, hey, I have an offer from Alabama, I have an offer from Penn State. And when I went down on that Southern tour, I pretty much asked Nick Saban, I think my dad asked him, he's like, so, you know, does Landon have an offer? And Nick said, you know, he said, you know, sure, if you want to say that, whatever. But he's like, that's not what it's about. It's about, and he went on a rant about academics and the importance of, you know, developing and all this stuff. And sure enough, I turned around and posted that I had an offer from Alabama. You know, being, it was one of those things. I knew I wasn't going to go there. So it was kind of just to get that offer was cool. I wasn't that worried about it. Nor did I think Nick Saban will ever remember me. But it was funny to see his personality is just shoot you straight. Just be 100% honest with you. He's not going to kiss your butt. He's not going to lie to you. He is going to give you the full honest truth. So I really enjoyed that about Nick Saban. And honestly, if it wasn't so far from home, I would have contemplated Alabama because I really liked him. On the flip side, I remember going to Ohio State my freshman year. It was their spring game, I believe. So it would have been their 2017 spring game. I think maybe 2018 spring game. And I remember I was there visiting. I went to high school with Chase Young's cousin. So we were visiting Chase. I remember it was his birthday. And he had five sacks in the spring game. This is right before, I think, before his big year, before he really took off and then got drafted, obviously, you know, really high in the draft. And so he gets me in. I'm going in. I think I already have a Penn State offer at this time. I already have a decent amount of offers. And, you know, getting that Ohio State and that Alabama offer is kind of like that next level almost, where it's like, okay, you know, this is a really serious recruit. So I go in and I sit down with Urban Meyer. And as I'm coming in, actually, it was real funny. I see this guy standing up, this family with a recruit coming out. And guess what? It is Emmett Smith with his son and his wife. Wow. You know, I don't know where Emmett Smith's son ended up going. So, you know, I kind of, you know, the star shock look where I'm like, hey, how you doing, sir? And he kind of nods his head and walks past. So we sit down and we're talking to me and my stepmom, talking to Urban Meyer for a little bit. And of course she wears blue. So he's like ragging on her. He's like, you're not allowed to wear that. And, you know, kind of having a little bit of fun with it. But he almost went a little too far. He said it like six times. It's like, all right, we get it. And funny enough, so then we hear a knock at the door. Well, guess what? It's Emmett Smith. He goes, hey, guys, can I come back in? And he goes, I think I left my phone in here. Well, sure enough, my stepmom is sitting on Emmett Smith's phone because he left it. So he goes, oh, thanks. All right, see ya. And it was that. So that was a crazy those recruiting experiences are really cool. But I just remember talking with Urban Meyer, and he just, the way he kind of talked down to me, and he was like quizzing me as he was talking. He's like, do you remember what I just said? And this, and he's like, what? And I'm like, I just didn't really like it. It didn't resonate with me. And then this is actually my favorite recruiting story I've ever had, real quick. Urban Meyer did not offer me. I didn't ask because I was so mad after sitting down with him. I did not enjoy it at all. I almost didn't care. So after the game, we go back and we're hanging out Chase Young's, you know, apartment at his place. And he says, you know, did they offer you? And I said, no, they didn't. And he's like, what? Nah, that's not right. And Larry Johnson, legendary Larry Johnson, you know, Penn State, Larry Johnson, who's now at Ohio State, he is Chase Young's position coach. And he's also the recruiter for the Maryland area, who's my recruiter. So Chase goes, all right, hold on. So I see him. He goes over and he calls Larry Johnson. And he's like, man, you need to get over here right now. Like right now. He's like, you guys didn't offer land, et cetera, whatever. So next thing I know, Chase hangs up the phone. He's like, all right, you know, Coach Larry, he's coming over right now. I'm like, to your apartment? He's like, yeah. And then so I get a text about 15 minutes later. It says, come outside and come around back. So from Coach Johnson. And, you know, I go down. I take the elevator down. I go around back. And he's sitting out there, you know, right outside his car. And he's like, son, we'd like to offer you a scholarship here at Ohio State, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, thanks. So that's my favorite recruiting story. I basically, Chase Young bullied Ohio State into offering me a scholarship. That is my greatest recruiting story. So you'd be man, there's so many great recruiting stories, official visit stories that are just not shareable on the radio podcast. But I'm sure eventually one day, as you know, this age group gets older, you know, you're starting to hear some recruiting visit stories from guys in the NFL now, from back in the day. In 10 to 15 years, we'll be able to share some of these stories once everybody's retired and hanging out and just having a good time on all these different podcasts. But just know there is some really hilarious, funny times that have happened on these visits for everybody involved.
I'm sure there are, and I'm sure there are things that can't be repeated, like you said, on the radio or on the podcast version. And, you know, and I think we as fans know that stuff goes on. Here's, you know, and I'm going to segue a little bit to, you talk about coaches and their style and what they're like. And the way you talked about Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, I imagine James Franklin is quite a bit different than those guys, which leads me to the coach will set the standard, what the school is like. I'm going to use the word culture. And I think if you look around different schools, some of them, Alabama, you think of as all business. You know, it's about getting you to play on Sunday. It's about excellence. You know, at Ohio State, I go back to, I think it was Cardale Jones who, you know, had the quote, "We're not here to play school. We're here to play football." Mm-hmm. You know, academics has nothing to do with that. Oregon, it's all about the swag, the uniforms, the flash. Clemson, there's Dabo Sweeney, the good old boy. What do you consider the Penn State culture?
I truly do believe it is a family culture, and I can attest that I feel like more than a lot of people because of my situation, and I essentially had to fall back and kind of rely on a lot of these people within the Penn State community and ask for some help and ask for a hand, and not only me even asking, people reaching out saying, hey, how can we help? So I feel like, and that stems down from, I think that started with Joe Pa and stems all the way down to Coach Franklin. I will say from a feel standpoint, when you go and sit down with Nick Saban or you sat down with Urban Meyer, it was like, okay, I am in the room right now with, you know, obviously a great, you know, a legendary coach, but it's like, you know, you're sweating almost. You're like, don't mess up. When you go on those visits and you're sitting in Coach Franklin's office, it is like you're just sitting there. You're shooting the crap with a guy you've known for 15 years. You're laughing. You're having a good time. It feels like family. So that's why I'll say it is very different from how these coaches carry themselves. James Franklin makes it a point to be extremely personable, understand how to relate to people and how to talk to them, how people want to be talked to. I don't think Urban Meyer and Nick Saban care as much how people want to be talked to. And they're more, hey, it's my way. You're going to come here because, you know, I'm who I am and this school is who this school is. So it's not like, you know, we're not exactly begging you to come here type deal. Now, obviously, if you're a number one player in the nation, that conversation changes a little bit. You know, Nick Saban's going to be a little more likely to say some nicer things. But as a whole, the transaction of an interaction as a whole is just a little different from how James Franklin talks to recruits than how Nick Saban used to talk to recruits. It's just not the same.
I imagine it hasn't changed much with Ryan Day. I talked to a family member of a player who went to Penn State, was also being recruited by Ohio State, and that the relationship there, it was cold, it was football, that was it for the conversation. But James Franklin will talk to you about more than just football.
You're absolutely right. He's just the conversations he has, and he has a really good memory. I remember we would FaceTime a lot when I was being recruited, and the things he would ask me, you know, I'm sure, you know, he has people writing that down for him, and he has notes in front of him. But to even take that time to care that much, to do that, to have that preparation, I think that means a lot to the players and to the families. I've seen him just recall random things. You know, he'll still talk about, I'll never forget when I was, I think I was like a sophomore in high school, and I came up and I had this obsession with wearing clothes that were definitely way too tight, Jim. I was wearing entirely too tight. And I remember I was working with this brand. Probably illegal, honestly, thinking back on it, because they were giving me free clothing. But hey, what's that? Whatever, I'm retired. So, you know, and I wear this like pink tight tracksuit, and it's light pink. It's not like ultra pink, but it's kind of light. And Franklin, I mean, to this day, we'll still talk about how I was wearing a tracksuit on a visit.
Oh, that's fantastic. You've got to bring that pink tracksuit out for me to see, Landon, or at the very least some pictures. All right. That's it for quarter three. We got more to go. Stick with us.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. Another fun topic here with Landon Tengwall. We're talking about what a recruit deals with, what are his priorities, what are the things he looks for. And you were telling some stories about coaches. So, of course, that leads to I've got to relay stories that I've heard. I heard Joe Pa in his day when they'd have these recruiting weekends where there was just so many kids. And you talked about, you know, James Franklin having a good memory, remembering this or that, that apparently the name tags that the players would have on the special players, the tag was a little bit different. So that they would know which players, hey, I better check up on this one. I better chat with this one. That one's a little more important than this one. So that's part of the discussion.
They still do that. It's a little more sly nowadays. So you will have and they switch it up. So there's no way to really know. And now you can figure out if you know, but they give you different color lanyards. So now it's always the lanyards. You know, I'm sure back in the day it was a stick and peel with your name on it. Well, now, you know, it's a lanyard and everybody's lanyard looks the same, except it's either blue or it could be white. It could be gray. And that kind of identifies. And obviously, you know, just being around, you kind of figure that out when you really just have to look at the top guy that's there and whatever color he has. Then it's like, OK, that's the color of the top people. So, yeah,
I was going to say you want the same color lanyard as Nick Singleton and Drew Aller, right?
Exactly. You look around and you're like, wait, why do I have a gray lanyard and this guy has a white one? You're like, I just beat him out at camp. I'm like, no, this can't be right. So, yeah, there is a little bit of a that is something that I recognized early on. It's definitely interesting to see. They have to do little things to make it as easy as possible for them to do this type of recruiting. So that is if you ever look. You know, even at a game, if you're sitting in the stands, when the recruits come up in the stands, just take a peek because they will be at least sometimes there's three colors, but there will at least be guys with white and then guys with blue. See if you can figure out who is the better recruit, I guess.
Well, we'll have to keep an eye on that from now on. Let me ask you about this, Landon, because we haven't hit on this. And I'll go back to there's only a small percentage of the players who make their career playing football. And even then, you know, it might just be a couple of years in the NFL, at which point you still have to fall back on something else where it's not football for your livelihood. You're a perfect example of it right here, Landon. So how important is it to players being introduced to the academics of the university? How important is it to the players? How important is it to the schools to do that? I mean, how many players say, hey, wait a minute, boy, that's Stanford offering me. So that's important. That's a good school. How much of that does that even play into it, Landon?
Yeah, I'd say probably not enough for most kids. <It's>, I think most kids are probably not worried enough about what that degree kind of means. You know, obviously getting a degree from Penn State and anything is huge just because of that networking. And like I said, I have felt that. I have been introduced to a ton of different big-time people. And they say, oh, you know, you graduated from Penn State. And they're just instantly inclined to want to help me. So I think that is the not necessarily the number one thing. I do think it's a little more important you know, what type of school you graduate from, whether it's an Alabama degree, where I think they have like a 99% acceptance rate versus like a Penn State, a Stanford, an Ivy League school. But then there is that piece of, and I think it's a big selling point that Penn State does a really good job of using, but it's that alumni network. And I, you know, other schools do that. When I went down to Auburn, I think Tim Cook, I believe, yeah, he's the Apple CEO. He is a big Auburn guy. They have a ton of pictures of him in there, him coming and talking to the team, that whole thing. So there definitely is that allure of, hey, we have big time, you know, Fortune 500 CEOs, you know, people in places that can help you after football. And that is something that is talked about a lot at Penn State. And the cool part is, because Penn State is such a unique place to live, a lot of these people end up settling back in Penn State. So I've met a ton of dudes that are, you know, very wealthy, did a lot of cool stuff in their lives, you know, created multiple, you know, hundreds of million dollar businesses, that type of thing. That is what's offered to you when you come to Penn State. Now, if you go to somewhere like, you know, say Maryland, I don't know. I don't really think that's emphasized very much from, you know, just from my experience. I didn't hear much about that, about the alumni network, et cetera, outside of playing at Under Armour. So, you know, I think that is something really big that goes into it, but it just all depends on the kid, you know, what that means to them and also the family. I think there are certain families that will say, hey, you know, you're going to go to a school that's at least, you know, here academically, whatever you want to set that bar, wherever that family thinks they should set that bar at. But then there's some families that really don't have any bearing on that. I don't think my dad cared too much personally. He was fully behind me wherever I wanted to go. But I did. When I thought about it, Penn State as a whole just made so much sense to me, from proximity to things it provides after football life, and everything in between. So I think there's sometimes that everything just falls into place for a recruit. But I'd say I'm really interested. I'd love to talk to someone who says, you know, I've heard stories about this. They got to their, you know, signing day and said they didn't even, and they were about to commit, and they didn't even know when they walked up to the table who they were going to pick. So I can't imagine having that much discourse in my head of where I'm going to go, because if I'm being honest, it was far and away clear to me in eighth grade after I came up for a camp. I was like, I'm coming here. It's over. I'm decided. Thankfully, my dad had the smarts to say, hey, you're not going to commit to at least after your junior year, because Coach Franklin does have a policy where if you commit to Penn State, you are not allowed to go on other official visits. And sometimes I'll see that. Sometimes I'll see a committed guy be like, you know, say, talk about on 24/7, oh, I'm going on a visit to Auburn or Alabama. And I'm like, I don't know about that. I'm like, I wonder if they're going to drop him or what that is going to look like. But you know, so I'm a big fan of going to a school that can provide you something after football, Jim, especially being in the position where I'm in. I'm going to be a big advocate for that in the future. And honestly, it's something that I want to really help guys out with, is transitioning to that life after football, after sports in general, because I don't think there's enough emphasis put on that, of helping people out after they're done with their sport.
And again, these are 18-year-olds that are being talked to about this. They are not necessarily thinking about their future. They're not thinking about, you know, 5-10 years down the road. They're thinking, wow, Oregon's got really nice uniforms. And, you know, that's unfortunate. And it sounds like you had pretty good guidance also within your family to help you with this decision.
Yeah, I think the problem that is going to arise more and more, and, you know, Coach Franklin will talk about this. Every coach will talk about this. We've had agents come and talk to the team. We've had NFL GMs come and talk. And something they always talk about, and now this was an NFL problem, but now this is going to be a college football problem, is family members and close family friends trying to either sway you to where you want to go, or once you get there, hey, can you help me out with some bills, or hey, can I get a couple bucks? And I just saw Jay-Z talking about it. He did an interview, talked for like 3 minutes talking about how he's had to tell family members, no, I can't help you out. I mean, that's someone that's worth, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. So I think that is a new problem that is going to arise in college football, is you kind of have to be weary, and it's hard to say, hey, you know, if you're a family member, if you don't have my best interests at heart, we're going to kind of have to cut this off. And I think a lot of family members are going to be somewhat, you know, exposed, so to speak, of how much they really care, or are they just trying to get some money out of their family member that has done really good and, you know, made a life for himself in college football. So that is something that is always talked about, of being weary of, hey, you can't help everybody out in your family. You can't help all your friends out, that type of thing. So I'm really curious to see how guys are going to navigate that, because there's already, we've seen it. We've seen guys where, especially, you know, normally see it in the dads. Well, they'll kind of dominate the recruiting. Some dads will essentially say, hey, and I've heard this, you're going to go here because I want you to go here. And guys are miserable and don't like it, but their parents essentially force them into it. I think where with NIL and what's happening with all this money, that is only going to happen more and more. So it's going to be interesting to see how guys handle that.
Well, it leads to now money is a part of this decision. And I'm not going to be one of these that, it's dirty, this giving money. You can't be doing that. That ruins the sport, changes it. I don't think there's a problem with it. But I'm wondering how much that affects a player into maybe making the wrong long-term decision, Landon, that if the money a little bit more here, but it's not the same kind of four-year experience. How about that?
Yeah, and honestly, I've already heard about that, especially in the earlier days of NIL. There was some kids there's a kid that went to my high school, and I was talking to him, and we were trying to recruit him. And he said, yeah, man, I'm going down to this school in Florida. They offered me, $100,000, and Penn State, whatever they have, 30, 40, whatever it may be. I'm saying, man, when you, that's not, I told him, man, that you need to take that out of the equation, because when you really think about that, okay, cool, you're going to go down to Florida and you're going to make, $60,000 more. Okay. But now let's think about getting, instead of being 3 hours away from home and your parents can come all of the games, now we got to worry about your parents' hotels. Now we got to worry about your parents' airfare. And if you're paying for that, that 100K starts to dwindle really quick. You got to pay for airfare back and forth between Maryland and Florida, that type of thing. When you really start to look at it, is it worth it? Now, granted, there is. Now, if we're talking $50,000 versus a $750,000, that's a little different. But when guys are going different places for, maybe $50,000, $100,000, that doesn't actually suit them the best, it makes my skin crawl a little bit, just because it's hard. You're putting these kids in a rough position. Imagine going up to a 17-year-old and saying, hey, I'll give you $100,000 more than the next guy. They're going to go with you almost every single time because they are 17 years old. They don't know any better. They just hear money and they, yeah, let's do it. I'm in. So that's why I think more now than ever, having a strong, family in the home to say, have that, which I'm so thankful that I had, of, kind of guiding me throughout my recruiting process. I think that's going to be so important, because there are just going to be so many different things, especially now in NIL, being thrown at these kids and opportunities and money, to have people, your family behind you and kind of a sounding board to talk to and bounce ideas off of, is going to be uber important. So, and honestly, I think that's something that, I don't know where this comes from, but maybe there's some type of high school agency that is starting to, basically high school agents. I think we could somehow be headed to that direction. I know that's not what people want to hear, but something along those lines could kind of be helpful to these players.
The problem is, as soon as you say the word agent, you know that there's going to be some nefarious, players in this who will take advantage of the players. And we already see that going on. We saw the lawsuit for the quarterback against Florida. There's still a lot that could go wrong. Landon, thank you so much for fantastic information. I think you really gave our listeners a good look at what it's like to be a big-time college football recruit. That is it for the show. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership, with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.